Support for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation and Stonyfield Farm.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Kellerman. Icebreakers are incredible ships. They can smash through 20 feet of solid ice, freeing channels in the frozen waters of the North and South Poles. The powerful vessels enable supply and research ships to reach the ends of the Earth, and they're vital for national security. But while the United States has 3 icebreakers, only 2 actually work, and they're old and need to be replaced. That according to a recently released report by the National Research Council. Anita Jones is professor of engineering and applied science at the University of Virginia and chairperson of the subcommittee that prepared the congressionally mandated report. She joins me on the line. Thank you very much, Professor.
Very pleased to be here, Bruce.
We have just 3 polar icebreakers? I was really surprised to learn that.
Just 3, and these are ships that only operate about 200 days a year because, unlike most ships, they deliberately ram into hard objects.
So how is it that only 2 of them actually work?
2 of the 3, the most capable of the 3, were built about 30 years ago, and so they are both at the end of their service life, as planned. One of them has recently had some maintenance done so that it can be maintained in mission-capable condition, but the other is sitting in caretaker status at the dock in Seattle.
So we've got 2 icebreakers. They're very old. What are the plans, or what is your report suggesting that we should do?
Congress asked the National Academies to look at this issue of what, in the current time and in the future, are the needs for icebreaking. And this report is an answer to that question, an answer to Congress.
But why are they asking that question now when we knew 30 years ago that these things had a lifespan of 30 years?
Bruce, it would have been better to address this problem in the early 90s, but that didn't happen. We now have a crisis, and the nation needs to address the problem now.
Well, why is it important that the United States have icebreakers?
Oh, there are many reasons. The icebreakers are multi-mission ships, and they address several really important missions. One of those is protection of our economic interests. As the ice is retreating in the summer in the Arctic, there promises to be much more shipping moving through the northern latitudes, because if one can move, for example, oil from one side of a continent, either Russia or the United States, to the other side by going to the north, it is much shorter than going either through the Suez Canal or the Panama Canal. That same is for cargo. Because the ice is retreating, the fishing fleets are moving north as the schools of fish do. We have increasing economic exploitation of natural resources in the Alaskan area. We're drilling for oil there. We mine minerals in the Alaskan territory, and the ships are designed to not just break ice, but to be science platforms, and they are used in both polar regions for that. So there are many reasons.
Now, I know from seeing pictures of icebreakers, I think we all have, you know, of seeing them plow through the ice, and it's usually to deliver supplies. But your report suggests and says that these are vital for national security. How is that?
The national security issue arises in the Arctic. The U.S. is one of 8 Arctic nations. We have territory, namely Alaska. We actually have an Air Force base in Thule, Greenland, which is in the Arctic area. The U.S. needs to be able to protect its territory wherever it is. I think at this point the issues are less national security, although that's always a concern of this nation, but law enforcement, economic protection, environmental protection of the area.
Do icebreakers do any damage to the polar region?
The short answer is no.
What's the long answer?
No. They break the ice, and this is a minor incursion. It does not pollute. It is sometimes unfortunate for them. It is not permanent. The ice starts freezing back as soon as it's broken, if the climate conditions are right for that.
I understand that being aboard one of these icebreakers is a pretty miserable experience, even when they're not going through ice, because they don't have a keel, so that they're not very steady in the water.
They don't have good seakeeping properties when they're designed to be the best at icebreaking, so they are more difficult to ride. There is a lot of new technology. For example, they have something called a double-acting hull, where if the ship is going in one direction, the hull is good for icebreaking. When the ship is going the other direction, the other hull is good for seakeeping, for traversing open water. So there's new technology that makes it much more attractive to build new ships rather than re-outfit, upgrade our older ships.
These icebreakers are very expensive. What's the going price for, you know, your basic Antarctic icebreaker?
It is roughly going to cost $500 million to build a new icebreaker of the large size that the Coast Guard now needs.
Well, how badly do we need a large icebreaker?
Well, I think we need it critically. The United States needs to be able to project an active and influential presence in two polar regions that are very far apart. And our committee looked at this, and even with the dramatically increasing needs in the Arctic because of the increased commercial traffic, resource exploration, increased tourism, by the way, you need to have several ships, and the ships need, in some cases, to be having routine maintenance because they are treated very harshly by the ice. And so the committee believes that it is quite urgent to actually replace the two larger ships, the Polar Star and the Polar Sea. We don't think we need to increase the fleet because new technology allows a ship of the future to do more than the ships that we have today.
Professor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.